Are you aware of the work you have to be going on at Princeton?
Yeah, the Pear Labs, Roger Nelson, and
that's right.
Yeah, those guys, and yeah, they've done great work for years, and the random number generator stuff, and with Dean Radin and Dick Berman, is very interesting, and I think compelling, and I think Dean has now come out with a quantum entanglement explanation for his results in his latest book. He spoke at he was at the last Tucson conference also. And so I think, yeah, that's you know, those types of effects have to be quantum mechanical.
And what do you think about the concept of individual consciousness versus collective, some sort of collective consciousness, which, of course, is what Princeton, they're not really certain that it's collective, but it seems to be leaning that way.
Well, I think a lot of people are grappling with the concept that there's some kind of information, platonic information, using Roger Penrose's term and going back to Plato's idea of an absolute realm of pure truth and ideas and beauty and aesthetics and so forth, but that it's real. It's not, and that it's real in a sense that can be described through modern physics at the very fundamental level of the universe, what the universe is made of at the nitty-gritty level, that, you know, string theory tries to approach it, quantum loop, quantum gravity, quantum geometry, things of that nature, describe a pattern, a structure of everything, of the most basic level, which gives rise to everything, because mass is, whether it's strings vibrating or curvature of space-time geometry or some description at that level, it's some kind of non-local medium at the basic level, which is called the Planck scale, the ultimately small level of reality, where things have information and things are non-local, almost maybe holographic, interconnected all over the place.
Well, obviously, it eclipses time in some manner, because, as you know, if you looked at some of the results they had at Princeton, prior to 9/11, I forget whether it was a half an hour, hour and a half, whatever it was, there was a significant, small but significant amount of time where the reaction to the 9/11 events began 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour prior to the actual event. Now, it's not just 9/11, it's many events where this occurred. So that would seem to put it outside the realm of time in some manner, quantum, I suppose.
Yeah. There are a couple ways to look at it, but if from the classical world, which we basically think we live in, looking at it, it would seem effects were going backwards in time, so that some type of correlation occurred from the future, from the near future, and probably the duration, how far back in time or how far into the future you can get information might depend on the intensity of the event. 9/11 being ultimately intense event caused backward time, like a day, I thought Dean Radin said in some cases. But normally I think we get information from like a fraction of a second, several hundred milliseconds in the future. But it could be longer. The thing about it is that time, you know, has no actual place in physics. I'm not a physicist, but as I understand it, we could do without the concept of time. At least the flow of time. I mean, does time really flow? In fact, an earlier viewer before I came on was talking about time speeding up, and I was thinking that we don't really know that time flows in and of itself. I mean, is it a dimension that we move in? If so, we should be able to go in both directions, forwards and backwards, or is it a process that it itself evolves, or does time exist at all? And some people, Julian Barber, for example, says that the universe is a collage of instantaneous frames, instantaneous moments, and how they're connected is somewhat arbitrary. We think they move forward in a logical way through our memory, but that's a little extreme. What I think is that there are sequences moving forward in time that are consciousness, because when the quantum world collapses to reality, that's a frame of consciousness if it happens a certain way, and then you have another one and another one and another one, and these are like the specious moments that William James talked about, forming a stream of consciousness, a stream of frames moving forward that are each kind of a collapse from the quantum world to the classical, creating reality within our heads.
All right. Well, I forget who it was, but somebody described to me time this way. They said, well, prior to Big Bang, for example, there was nothing, and therefore there could not be time. After the Big Bang, we then, as soon as we had two objects moving relative to each other, we could make an observation. We could say, well, all right, the moon or that planet over there or whatever is moving either toward us or away from us at, or in conjunction with us at the following speed. And so we now have a way to measure something. We now have time.
Well, that, you know, that sounds good. I don't know if that solves the basic problem of whether it's a process or a dimension or whether it exists at all, because it still remains. St. Augustine said, I know what time is until someone asks me to explain it, and then I don't know what it is. And you can say the same thing about consciousness. But some people think that the flow of time is associated, that consciousness creates a flow of time. For example, if we have a certain number of, if consciousness is a sequence of frames, kind of like a movie is a sequence of frames, the audience perceives it as a continuum. And we have a sequence of frames occurring in our head. The frames are in our head, and we experience each one, but it seems continuous because there's nothing in between. We're unconscious in between, like maybe in the quantum world. And so roughly 40 times a second we have these frames. But that rate can change. For example, you know, people in car accidents say, oh, the car was spinning in the world. Everything slowed down. Everything was in slow motion.
That's right.
And Michael Jordan, they asked him, well, how could he be such a great player? He said, well, when I'm playing well, it's like the other team, the defense is in slow motion, and I can make more moves than they can. So let's maybe Michael Jordan is having, instead of 40 frames per second, he's having 60 frames per second. So it's going to appear to him that the other team is in relative slow motion because his conscious time is faster than theirs, and he'll be able to, you know, pull more moves than they can.